This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Talking some Denver Nuggets today. Who better to do that with than the one and only Chris. Don't call me Christopher Dempsey, our Nuggets insider here. Chris, glad to catch up with you again, man, and looking forward to doing it on a weekly basis and maybe even more with you, my man. Nobody better when it comes to all things Denver Nuggets.
Well, I appreciate it. It's great to be back, man. Yeah, and wow, there's a lot happening with this basketball team right now, but very happy to be back and definitely looking forward to doing this on a regular basis.
Yeah, man, of course. All right, so let's get into it. The Spencer Jones story. I thought he was gone, and then he wasn't. He will stick around. The Nuggets match that offer that OKC made. $6 million, 2 years, $12 million. Your thoughts on retaining Spencer Jones. How important is this for Denver?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty important. I got to say, I'm mildly surprised that they did match that offer because it put them in the second apron. But obviously, this is a player that they value, that played really well for them, especially defensively. And, you know, one of their, you know, charges for this season is to be a better defensive team than they were last year. So I think the best way, the pathway to doing that is with defensive players. And so they retain a really good one. In Spencer Jones, and now, you know, how that sets up the rest of their summer remains to be seen. But certainly getting him back, I know he was a fan favorite as well, so it'll be good to have him back in the fold. But given their financial situation, you know, I was mildly surprised that they did it, but now we'll see where they go with what financial moves they make from here.
Yeah, that's where I was surprised. Now, if it was a luxury you could afford, hey, let's throw $6 million at kind of a project type of dude. I'm not trying to belittle him at all. I like Spencer Jones. I'm glad he's on this roster. But yes, like you said, given their situation, knowing that if they make that move, if they match it, bam, they're in the second apron. So that's where I was a little confused by it. On OKC's side of things, is this a situation where Sam Presti's like, hey, we like this guy a lot. Best case scenario, we get Spencer Jones on the roster. Worst case scenario, we force Denver's hand and now they're in the second apron.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly it. You know, it's when you see a team, you know, you don't see a ton of NBA teams even sign restricted free agents to offer sheets because it ties up their finances for 24 to 48 hours while the former team decides whether they're going to match it or not. And usually, you know, teams want their financial flexibility at all times. But if you know you're going to put the other team in a financial predicament, sometimes you do it anyway. And I think there's probably a little bit of both here. Spencer Jones is a good player. The Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the best defensive teams in the league year over year. And to add a player like that to that equation would be huge for them. There's no doubt about that. But also, if he goes back to the Nuggets, now they're in the second apron, and now it complicates things with in terms of trying to sign and trade. Peyton Watson, that whole situation is very, very interesting, but it gets a lot more complicated now because the Nuggets are in the second apron, which means you cannot take a player back in a sign-in trade, which means the Nuggets need to get back under the second apron to be able to execute a sign-in trade if that is something that they want to do with Peyton Watson. So, there's a little bit of a weakening of an opponent, right, of a division rival there, making them make some decisions maybe they didn't want to necessarily make. So I think there was a little bit of both there for OKC.
Chris, before I ask you more details on the Peyton Watson thing and where you think Denver will go, where you think he wants to go, on this second apron, I've asked you a million times. Today it's popping up again because the Nuggets are in that second apron. Explain it to me like I'm six, Chris. What are the damages that come with being in the second apron for the Nuggets?
Well, look, see, it's there to create more parity in the league so that teams just don't care. It used to be, so if you go back to the Golden State Warriors when they were winning titles, their luxury tax bills were in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and they just didn't care because they would just pay them, get the whatever players they wanted on the roster, and win another title. The NBA didn't want that at all. And so what they finally did was devise a system of aprons, and, you know, the first apron and the second apron, so that you are very, very penalized for this stuff. So, for instance, you get no use of any mid-level exceptions, no exceptions. There's a lot of different kind of exceptions that you can use: taxpayer mid-level exception, room mid-level exception. You are restricted to using no exceptions. The only thing you can do to sign a player is use the veteran's minimum. You can't aggregate salaries and trades, so which means you can't combine salaries, two or more players' salaries, to match the incoming player of the higher contract player. So obviously, you know, that's important in terms of, you know, trying to get players in and trying to salary match, which you kind of have to do in the NBA to be able to complete these trades. Can't sign and trade a player. We just went through that. Can't buy out. You can't pay buyout free agents. So the buyout market at the trade deadline, you're not a part of that because you're in the second apron. So there's just, you can't receive cash back in trades. So there's just 1,000 things that restrict you from building your roster, and the NBA wants it that way. They want it to hurt, and they, you know, if you go into the second apron, there was only one team in the second apron last season, and that was the Cleveland Cavaliers, and obviously that didn't work out for them in terms of losing in the playoffs. But you know, right now there, I believe, are four teams that are currently in the second apron. And this really only matters in, you know, you have the entirety of the season to get yourself under the second apron, so you don't have to really pay for it, you know, with your draft pick also in the future after the season is over. But as long as you're in that second apron during the season, you still can't make the trades you want to make and make the transactions that you want to make. So what the Nuggets are going to have to do here with Peyton Watson I think this is a very this is kind of a little bit of a game of chicken here, Brady, because right at the beginning of free agency, the Nuggets made it known that they would match any team up to like $30 million per year if a team signed Peyton Watson to an offer sheet. Well, that basically effectively just ended that for Peyton Watson, because no team was going to sign him to an offer sheet just to get for that amount of money, have that money tied up just to have the team then just match that offer. So that really was damaging to Peyton Watson in terms of his ability to have other teams really just buy for him in a way that they would just sign him to an offer sheet. So now you have reporting that Peyton Watson might sign a qualifying offer. Well, if he does that, the Nuggets definitely don't want that. So he would sign a qualifying offer, which is about $6.7 million for him. He would play this season for the Nuggets, and then he would be an unrestricted free agent next season. The reason why that matters for the Nuggets is if he signs the qualifying offer, there is no way they get great value for him in any kind of trade if they were trying to do that during the regular season, because he's on an expiring contract and he can leave that team, the team that he was traded to, immediately after next season. So it would really, really, really damage his value in terms of trade. So the Nuggets are in a space here where one of two things have to happen. One, they have to come to some sort of agreement that both sides like, and they can sign him to a contract here in Denver, or they have to dump salary and then get into sign and trade. And there are teams that are very interested in Peyton Watson. So this has been just a very, very fascinating situation. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but that's why the Spencer Jones thing was so interesting, because it puts you in a situation now where you have to, is it Zeke Nagy or is it Daron Holmes, or, you know, like you have to get yourself back under the apron to be able to have the full breadth of options in terms of how you deal with Peyton Watson.
Now, Chris, how deep into the second apron are they now? I know this deal was a $12 million for 2 years, so $6 million. What are they, a couple million in to the second apron? Is that how deep it is at this point?
Yeah, it's just under $2 million in.
Okay.
So it's not super deep into the second apron, which is why you see a lot of reports about Zeke Nagy, in terms of trading him or getting off of his salary a little bit, or Jerron Holmes, can he get off of his salary? Either one of those two players would do the trick for you. Very difficult to trade them, right? You know, those are players that didn't play a ton of minutes last season. Would you have to attach draft picks with that, second round draft picks with that, to be able to sweeten the pot for another team to take those players off your hands? Or if you're the Nuggets and you say the Atlanta Hawks want to sign and trade for Peyton Watson, then you have the Hawks help you find trades for Zeke Nagy or somebody else, right? So they can do that, and then they have to have a package for you as well. So, you know, we might be a little while from a resolution here, with Peyton Watson. I think in, you know, the order this has to go in, if the Nuggets need to get off some salary in order to execute anything else they want to do with P.Y.
Chris Dempsey joining us. And, you outlined what the Nuggets did by basically declaring, hey, we would match up to that $30 million, which kind of scared teams away. And you can look at it and say, smart business decision by the Nuggets. But also, did they do Peyton Watson dirty here? And how does Watson view the Nuggets going forward? I look at that initial report of him, you know, playing on the $6.5 million or whatever the qualifying offer is, more of a, hey, fine, I'll get through one more season, but then it's done. I'm unrestricted. I can go wherever the hell I want. I don't have to play any of these games anymore. Like you said, it's not a good look, and it probably even means that more or less tells you that Watson has not a lot of interest if he does pick this up in being a Nugget long term.
Yeah, well, you know, there would be some, you know, mending offenses that would have to happen, right? I mean, these negotiations have clearly been tough. You know, you have a player that I think at the very least wanted, just above whatever Christian Brown got, $25 million per year, right? And it doesn't feel like that the Nuggets are there with that number. And because of that, you know, he would like to go elsewhere to get, you know, to get that number. It feels like maybe there's some teams out there that might give him that number. I think he knows that, but the Nuggets, have made these overtures that they're going to match. And so these negotiations are tough, and sometimes you can get some frayed feelings. The risk for Peyton Watson is if you sign your qualifying offer and you don't play as well as you did last year, then it doesn't matter. Your unrestricted free agency is damaged as well, because you're just not going to get the same type of dollars that you figured you were going to get this year. If you're P. Watt and you play great, and, you know, then it's going to be on the Nuggets to either find the money or you can just say, hey, thanks but no thanks, and I'll go somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, these are, you know, you get to these situations. I mean, we saw this a lot with Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, kind of this cat and mouse, you know, do you want to be here? Do you not want to be here? Do we want to extend the contract to you or do we not? And, I just think that there's some similarities here with Peyton Watson, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Chris, last prediction game for you. First off, do you see Peyton Watson on the Nuggets roster this upcoming season?
Ooh, that's a good question. I am leaning toward probably not.
Mm.
This is just my gut feeling about this. I think that the Nuggets will try to get under the second apron, and then they'll try to sign and trade him. I think that if the two sides were coming together on a contract that was acceptable to both sides, they would have done so by now, and they haven't. So I would expect that we'll start seeing some reports of other moves to be made, and then, you know, a sign and trade to get assets back and players and a player or players, back in return for him. Because, you know, if you're the Nuggets, you know, you need, you know, I'm not super sure what Peyton Watson's ultimate value is, but if you can get a young player in maybe some sort of a lottery protected first round pick back for him, that would be something that wouldn't be a bad idea for the Nuggets. I mean, they don't have control of any first round picks until 2031, I believe it is. And, you know, certainly not any that they can trade right now until at least next offseason, when the pick that they owe to OKC conveys to OKC and thereby releases their 2028 first round obligation to OKC. So can you get draft assets? Can you get a young player? And if you can get both of those things, then, you know, you still have Cam Johnson, you still have guys that play his position that are obviously really good players as well. You can have a little bit of the best of both worlds.
Chris, who would have thought that, you know, 2 years ago even, that Peyton Watson would be such a source of fork in the road for the Nuggets, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was all right. You wonder what kind of player he was going to be, and now suddenly it's the decision to retain him or move on. However, could really impact the immediate and the foreseeable future for the Nuggets. It's crazy.
I agree. And, you know, it's, you know, the Nuggets, you know, the thing that's too bad about this situation is Peyton Watson is exactly the kind of player they need on this roster. You know, he is a long and rangy defender. Obviously, the shot blocking, whether it's his own man or weak side help defense, is there. He's one of the best shot blocking forwards, period, in the NBA. I mean, he helps raise your defensive profile. And then the offense that he showed was stuff that they need. I mean, he showed that he could be a three-level scorer, hit the three, get to the rim, shoot a mid-range as well. But also just this ability to be able to break down your man one-on-one in an ISO situation when the shot clock is running down. That is something that the Nuggets just didn't have a ton of on their roster. And I still don't think they have a ton of that on their roster right now. And what that just means is that when teams kind of get into you, especially in the playoffs, you see a lot of empty possessions or a lot of very tough shots taken in these possessions. So you need guys who can kind of just go and get their own so they can keep their offense on schedule. They don't have a ton of that on their roster right now. And Peyton Watson would have been that player, or still could be that player. I don't want to write him off here, but still good. He's that type of player that they need. Also, reduces their overall age of their basketball team, which is the Nuggets are now one of the older teams in the NBA, and you have to start trying to filter in some younger players to get some youth, some injected energy and youth onto your basketball team. So, you know, this is when you're a team like the Nuggets and you sign contracts early to other players, that's good business for the team because you're paying at a rate that you wouldn't have to pay if that player plays another season really well and now the price goes up. But it also can hurt you on the backside of this if you now have so much of your finances already tied up that you can't retain really good players like Peyton Watson.
It's going to be interesting to see how this one unfolds. Chris, fascinating stuff by you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon, my friend.
All right, my guy. We'll talk to you.
All right, sounds good. Chris Dempsey. Let's unpack that conversation coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Soon enough, the boys of fall will be back, and the coach will be here to preview the upcoming season. Coach Speak, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.